I don't want to say about you what the Gemara says in Yuma, because Chas v'Shalom, don't take the analogy literally. God forbid, I'm not. The Machlokes of Rosh Benyankiv, the Chachamim, the Gemara in Yuma, the Rambam Hilchos Teshuva. The Rambam Paskin Zalocha that even Chatoyim that I set video on and already have done Shuva. And even the chief kapara, I continue to say video continuously. Shenamim mechatosi negi tami. Rambam paskin zayim alazim in yankin. Rambam the chacham say no. They paskin kekel of shaval kio ksil shoyin mi balto. I don't want to say that in our statement sleep.
I'm asking. It's my third time.
I'm just repeating myself. I don't have any chidushim. I actually went looking for it. And the problem is, I don't think I brought it. Because I'll tell you the honest truth. I didn't really have the opportunity to prepare this year, except today. And I happened to carry with me in my car some notes that are there the whole year. Okay. I'm discussing the question of Yom HaAtzmaut. There are those who, in a very disparaging kind of fashion, who are clearly immature and insecure and insensitive, who call it Yom HaAtzmaus. I don't exactly understand that, to be very honest with you. I think they are people who need, shall we say, assistance. In general, my position in life on all issues is to try to examine the issue intelligently, objectively, through the eyes of Chazal. And certainly, the founding of the State of Israel, and we're talking how many years now?
62.
You have even a machlokes about that. How many years?
62.
Almost 62.
Correct. Came out 62 years. We're discussing a phenomenon which, to my mind, is probably one of the most monumental events that occurred in Jewish history in the last 2,000 years. In general, I'll tell you how my hashkafa about Yom HaAtzmaut was formulated. It's approximately over the last 60 years that I've been thinking about the topic. And I always begin with Yom HaShoah. When I was a youngster, I've told this many, many times, I was under the influence of a very chashuv rav, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rabbi Kusiel Fuchs, who lost his entire family in the Holocaust in the Shoah, his wife and children. And through a nest, he was able to escape from the shores of America. He remarried, had one child, and Baruch Hashem is zochet to have many, many children. It reminds me of someone showed me in my shul, one of the Balabatim showed me a woman who also went through the Holocaust, and today has over 2,000, literally 2,000 grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Unbelievable. Which, of course, is the greatest revenge that she can possibly achieve. And it's a bracha, obviously, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that she survived in Baruch Hashem, Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker. But I mention this story about Yom HaShoah because when I was a youngster, approximately 8 or 9 years old, this rav was, on the day that was declared as Yom HaShoah, which has its own halachic problematica, as I mentioned many times, since in Chodesh Nisan, one is not permitted to say Kel Malay, although on Yiskar, we say Kel Malay Rachamim. Apparently, it's Seven Takana, But in general, we're talking about during Sfira, when music is a problem. I'm not here now to discuss the issue of what kind of music is not permissible during Sfira. Shalom Aleichem. Nice of you to show up.
No problem. Just got the yeshiva.
Baruch Hashem. Erev Rosh Chodesh. They're real yeshiva people. The Zman begins with Rosh Chodesh, even though it ends 3 months before. It's all over. So the beginning of the Zman, they respect the Mechavish. Anyway, so he, this Rav, on the day that was Yom HaShoah, he became extremely emotional. You can imagine why. He lost his entire family, his wife and children, and he felt the need to go to a Yom HaShoah ceremony of sorts, if you will. At that time, the Orthodox community did not recognize Yom HaShoah Bichlal, for all the halachic reasons and other reasons that perhaps could come to the fore. I even heard from the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik Zecheinu Livracha, many, many times, based on a comment of his uncle, the Brisker Rav, based on a statement in the keynotes, that there is no day other than Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the day that commemorates all Jewish tragedy. And therefore, many Gedolei Yisrael, including Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Kulam Zecher Tzadikim Livracha, all were of the opinion there's no need to establish a separate day as Yom HaShoah. But the fact is, the state of Israel did establish such a day, and therefore, this particular Rav felt somehow compelled to attend a Yom HaShoah ceremony. So where did we go? This is in the 50s. We went to Temple Emmanuel in New York City. I don't know if you're familiar with Temple Emmanuel. It's a Reform synagogue. However, he did not walk into the Reform synagogue. It was piped outside. He felt the need to somehow, that there should be some recognition of these Kedoshei Elyon who lost their lives in the Shoah, including his whole family. And I remember he used to go and he would cry unbelievably. It was just the most unbelievable sight for me, a young child, to see actually this Rav and how he reacted to Yom HaShoah and to that which happened and to that which Amalek had done to Klal Yisrael during that period of time. And that had a major influence on my life. At the same time, when Yom HaTzibur appeared on the scene, this Rav felt the need to say Chatzi Halo without a bracha after davening. This is in the 50s. A Rav who himself was a Talmid of Rav Chanan Wasserman, the Chatzari B'Kadosh Livracha, himself killed by the Nazis, and who learned B'Chavrusa with Rav Chaim Zaitchik, the Chatzari Livracha, one of the great Dolei HaMusar Shel Doreinu. A Rav himself who was a Baki B'Chalat HaRakula, a Rav in a simple shtibel in the Bronx, Olav HaShalom, New York. I almost said Olav HaShalom in New York. But this Rav left a major impression on me, because I was close to him for many, many years. He also had a beautiful voice, and he davened beautifully. I think I mentioned to you once that someone got up to daven for the Omid, for the Shiach Tzibur, on Yom Tov night, and sang the Baruch for Shabbos. And he was removed from the Omid by this Rav, on the spot. This Rav actually walked with a limp, with a very conspicuous limp. He was actually tortured. He was in Siberia. He went through Gehenna. From every perspective, it's a nasi. He lived to tell the tale. And so when this fellow got up and sang the wrong thing, he said he destroyed his entire Yom Tov, removed him from the Omid. I, a 7-year-old child, went over to the Rav and said, there's a chazal. I'm a vayish, is chaver, a rabin. My father smacked me across the face. And more than that, I'll just leave it at that. Someone just told me recently they remembered me as a young child. I gotta get rid of that guy. You can't let any evidence. They also remember my brothers. I have two brothers. One of them actually comes here. And the other brother was a Rav in Chadera, so he told me that my brothers were tzaddikim, and there was another child, the middle child, and he was, shall we say, not such a tzaddik. Can't imagine who that was. Anyway, the kitzur, that was Yom HaShoah. When Yom HaTzibur came, this Rav used to say Hallel with such yisrakshus, with such emotion, without a bracha, after davening. It was in the 50s, Rav Estevin. And I was very taken by that. He saw in the state of Israel the efflorescence of Klal Yisrael. Because Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, with his unbelievable hashkacha, decided to literally replant Klal Yisrael and gave us, even after the Midas Hadin, a tremendous shefa of chesed, which was absolutely mind-boggling. In the 60s, I was zechut to hear on two occasions Maron HaRabban Soloveitchik, Zechut Tzadik Livracha, speak about Yom Ha'atzmaut. I heard him speak on Yom Ha'atzmaut itself. It's actually printed in one of his well-known books, Logic of the Heart, Logic of the Mind. Are you familiar with that? Chaval wasn't disseminated that widely, and there aren't too many editions of that book that are available today. It's hard to find it. But there, in those Hashkafa Shurim, Rabban Soloveitchik discussed both the halachic issues that are involved in establishing Yom Ha'atzmaut and also the philosophic issues. I'll mention one or two of them in the course of my discussion. The first argument is that who is responsible for the establishment of the State of Israel? Individuals who are not observant, people who are not dati, not shomer Torah mitzvahs, and how could that possibly be of any historical significance? If a non-observant Jew is involved in such a phenomenon, clearly it's a step away from the Geula, not a step towards the Geula. Secondly, inasmuch as Golus, as you know, is basically onesh for people who abandon the Torah, that we know from Sukkim and Chumash, and it's all over Tanakh. Anyone who's familiar with the Sukkim and Pashas B'chukosai and the Sukkim and Pashas Kisavo, Ramban Chumash points out that these two sets of Sukkim relate to Chum Bayis Rishon, Chum Bayis Sheni. So how could any Yeshua come about only as a result of Tshuva? Can Yeshua really come about? And clearly all the secular Zionist movement did not originate as a Tshuva movement. And thirdly, how did the State of Israel come about? It came about through natural means, through natural processes, and according to some opinions in Chazal, that any form of Gula has to take place in a metaphysical kind of fashion, in a metanatural kind of fashion. Even though I believe that that's a miut, sheva miut, of Gedol Yisrael regarding that particular position. So, both Avraham Soloveitchik and his brother, my Rebbe, the Rav, Rebbe the Bracha, always referred to Pesukim that I found here in the Perek Zayin and Malachim Beis, which has bearing on all these arguments. Here the Navi describes, actually one of the Haftarahs, the Navi describes Shomron, which is besieged by the armies of Aram, of Syria, was in the throes of famine, and it seemed doomed. And we have the Haftarah, which by the way is very relevant. Tazriya Mitzorah, the Haftarah of the Aram Mitzorayim, Pesach Hashar, that you are all familiar with. According to Chazal, by the way, whom were the Aram Mitzorayim? Chazal said they were? Gehazi Ubanav, Gehazi and his three children. And the Rabbi writes in Pirsha Mishnayis, he points out in the last Mishnah Sanhedrin, he calls them Leitzanim, cynics and scoffers. And the fact they were ostracized because of their malady, they faced certain death, they decided to surrender. I'm not going to read all the psukim over here, but the moment they approached the camp of the Syrians, they had an unbelievable miracle that seemed to have taken place right in front of them. The Navi describes here how there was panic, and the Syrians had abandoned literally everything, horses, food, weapons, what have you. And they went from tent to tent. They were grabbing this, that. But then they realized after a while that the conscience began to bother them. They said, Hayom azeh yom b'sarahu, and how can we possibly, shall we say, simply hoard everything for ourselves without telling Klal Yisrael about the good news? And so in effect, Rabban Soloveitchik and Rav Soloveitchik, two brothers, both were mechabit to the same idea. What do we see? The Ness of the deliverance of all the inhabitants of the Shomron was carried out through four lepers. And the Rambam, in his Pirsha Mishnayis, Chazal see them as not just being lepers, but they were spiritual lepers. They were basically, according to Chazal, they see them as being kofrim. And yet, what happened? The Geula came about through these four kofrim. The Arvah Mitzaroi, Pesach Hashar, were responsible for the Geula of Klal Yisrael. So here we see that even individuals who are apikursim can bring about the Geula of Klal Yisrael. Chazal said, Yisrael al pi shechata Yisraelu, a Jew even if he sins is considered to be a Jew, no matter how low a Jew may have actually descended, and therefore no Jew is excluded from salvation. To such an extent that Marabayim quoted the Psukim again in Malachim Beis, Perek Yudalit, Psukim Chav Gimel, all the way to Chav Zayin. Here it mentions Yerubim ben Yoash. He was a Melech Yisrael for 41 years. Bayasara ben Yashem. Pasuk says that he was terrible, he was evil. And it mentions in the well in the Pasuk that he didn't turn away from all the chatoim of Yerubim ben Nevat. And what did he do? He restored the Gvulos of Klal Yisrael, Mechamas al-Avot Mitzrayim. Why? The pasuk goes on to say, because Hashem saw that the matzav of Klal Yisrael was a very bitter one, and therefore Hashem saved them to Yerubim ben Yoash. So here he's compared to who? To Yerubim ben Nevat. What would you say was the task of Yerubim ben Nevat al pi halacha? How do Chazal see Yerubim ben Nevat as someone who's what? A chote umachti asarabi. Someone who's a sinner and causes others to sin. And what happens to such a person? He loses his chelek in all of Avod. And despite that fact, this Yerubim ben Yoash is described as restoring the borders of Klal Yisrael from Hamas to Yamu Araba. Matter, I believe in Yerushalmi and Chala, the machlokes, what the extent of his conquest was. Because one opinion says everything Yeshua conquered, he restored. The other one says that his kibush was even greater than Yeshua ben Nun. I think it's a machlokes Yerushalmi and Chala regarding this fellow. So again, we're talking about a person who was certainly no greater tzaddik than Ben Gurion. That's for sure. Anyone know who Ben Gurion was?
No idea.
I see you are testing. The answer is Pasha. Because the Pasuk says, Hashem saw that Chas v'Shalom, the Matzav of Yisrael was literally, had descended to the point of almost no return, and therefore he saved them through Yerubim ben Yoash. And in general, I believe that this is exactly the situation of Klal Yisrael after the Shoah. And undoubtedly, those who went to Poland, and even those who didn't go to Poland, or those who've read about the Shoah, all of us have read about the Shoah, anyone who knows the status and the situation of Klal Yisrael for the Shoah, we were literally probably at our lowest point. But that is the unbelievable hashkocha of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that even after such a midas hadin, such an unbelievable makkah that we sustain, Ribbono Shel Olam is an infinite chesed, follows upon the heels of such a midas hadin with an incredible, a massive shefa of chesed. And I believe the founding of the State of Israel is literally the epitome, the very quintessence of that chesed of Hashem Yisbarach towards Klal Yisrael after the Shoah, after the midas hadin. We mentioned the other argument that the gula has to take place. In a metaphysical kind of way, and I answered this argument by pointing out that there are two types of redemption. That's already mentioned in Chazal, the famous Gemara Sanhedrin. I'll just read part of it. The Gemara says, and Daf Sadik Tes, the Gemara asks the steer of two psukim. One pasuk says, Ani Hashem bi'ita achisheva. Pasuk says that I Hashem will hasten the gula in its time. Bi'ita means in its time. Achisheva, I will hasten the gula. So you have a problem over here. There's a steer of the pasuk itself. On the one hand, the pasuk says Achishena, I'll hasten the gula. On the other hand, it says Be'ita, in its time. So the Gemara answers, Zachu, if Klal Yisrael merit, Achishena, Hashem will hasten the gula. Lo Zachu, Be'ita, we don't merit, then the gula will be in its time. Because if we do tshuva and we merit the gula, then Hashem will expedite the gula, will hasten the redemption. But if not, it will come. But how will it come? It will come in its time. And then the Gemara calls two psukim. And this is the two psukim I'm referring to. One pasuk in Daniel, Perek Zayin, pasuk in Gimel, speaks about from Shamayim there's going to be, there will appear the form of a human being, and a pasuk in Zechariah that says that it's going to come riding on a donkey. Again, it seems to be a stira from the pasuk in Zechariah that appears that Mashiach is going to come on a donkey. Rochiv al Hamor from the pasuk in Daniel, it seems it's going to come from the clouds. Of course, you know the Gemara had brisker origins. And the answer, of course, is Sveidinim. That's exactly what the Gemara answers. Zochu, if Klal Yisrael merit, the Mashiach will come from the clouds. And if not, he'll come anyway, riding a donkey. What does it mean? Literally riding a donkey? Of course not. What does the Gemara mean? It means it will come in a gradual kind of way. The simple shot in the Gemara, here in Maseches Sanhedrin. And you are familiar with the Gemara in Yuma, I assume, in the first parak. And also Rambam, one of his truths, the Rambam writes to the Jewish community of Marseille, that what was the sin of our forefathers? They didn't involve themselves in the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. I'm not saying that's the only reason why we are in Golos. There are other reasons why we are in Golos. That's what the Rambam writes to the community of Marseille. And the Gemara actually describes there in Sanhedrin, in Daf Tzadik Ches, the Gemara describes what exactly is the case Nigle, on a natural level, on a gradual level, not on a physical level. The Gemara says over here, Ein lecha keitz megula mizeh. The Gemara calls the psukim in Yecheskel, in Perek Lamed Vav. Hurry Yisrael, the Navi says, the mountains of Israel, your fruit is going to be yielded. because Hashem is going to turn toward us, and our cities will be rebuilt, and once again, we'll multiply, b'chulu, 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 and therefore, the Gemara is suggesting that when we dedicate ourselves to rebuilding the land, at that point in time, in effect, we can be zoche to redemption as well. On the other hand, there's a redemption that could be, of course, as I mentioned, if we do tshuva on a metanatural level, on a metaphysical level. That's also described in Chazal at great length. Whatever the case is, clearly, we are the factor. We have to make a decision regarding one way or the other. I should mention a famous Ramban. This to me is the most unbelievable Ramban of our Torah. Cannot be the most unbelievable Ramban, most of them are unbelievable. And this one is the most unbelievable. Ramban writes something incredibly striking. He says that as long as Eretz Yisrael is occupied by Ummah Sa'olam, by the nations of the world, they will never flourish. There will be no efflorescence in Eretz Yisrael. There will be no land reclamation. There will be no prosperity. And one looks at Eretz Yisrael from the time that we left, I'm talking about from the time of Chorban Bayis Sheni, all the way till the establishment of the State of Israel, it's absolutely uncanny. Ramban has a pasuk in Chumash that he bases it on. Who occupied Eretz Yisrael in the course of hundreds and hundreds of years? The answer is, number one,
the Muslims.
The Muslims. Who else?
The Turks.
The Turks. Who else?
British.
Christians.
British.
The British. And it's uncanny. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds of years, and the land remained desolate. And the Ramban is a pasuk in Chumash. V'shamu olah oyvechem hayoshvim ba. The land will be shamay. The Ramban says, till Klal Yisrael return to Eretz Yisrael, the land will be shamay. And only when we return to Eretz Yisrael, in the course of the last 62 years, look what has happened here in Eretz Yisrael. Despite the President of the United States, he can declare kippah, he can freeze all day and all night, freeze settlements and what have you, freeze building in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. But trust me, ultimately, the Ribbono Shel Olam will prevail, and we will build, and continue to build, and Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, Eretz Yisrael will continue to have efflorescence, and prosperity, and fruitfulness, despite the President of the United States. He's not Kobayah. The only one who's Kobayah is Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ramban is Kobayah. V'shamu Olei Oyveichem Hayoshvim Bo. As long as they occupy Eretz Yisrael, it will be desolate. And the moment Klal Yisrael returns to Eretz Yisrael, look what's happened in 62 years. I don't believe, by the way, that even in America, which is a massive country, Malchus Shel Chesed, that Moshe Feinstein calls it, I don't think that they could do, I don't think any country in the world could do in 62 years what Am Yisrael did here in Eretz Yisrael in the last 62 years. So all this is by way of Hakdama, preamble to my general perspective on Yom HaTzmaut. Now, as you know, there are different approaches to Yom HaTzmaut. Let's take the two extreme approaches that are probably well known. One is the approach of the Satmar Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that he said the establishment of the state was an act of the Maaseh Satan, the work of the devil, diabolical forces, devilish forces that were involved here in the State of Israel. And therefore, to the extent that we, shall we say, want the Geula, we will have to dismantle the state. That essentially was his position. I believe his position was a Das Yochid, even though he was a great Gadol and a great Tzaddik. And I often comment about the unbelievable Chesed of Satmar Chassidim. But I believe his position was adopted by any other segment that I know in Klal Yisrael. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, you have those, of course, who hold that the entire year and the entire Jewish calendar revolves around one day of the year. Heyyar is the very epicenter of the Jewish calendar. And Heyyar essentially is the decisive factor in my religious life. It takes on a theological halachic life of its own. It overshadows any other kind of mitzvah observance or Torah learning that I'm possibly committed to. And therefore, one who does not say Hal on Yom HaTzmaut with a bracha, one who does not wear blue pants and a white shirt on Yom HaTzmaut, one who does not have a Siddhas mitzvah, don't bother trying to please God. You missed the boat. No amount of Torah, Mesiras Nefesh, or Chesed B'Klal Yisrael can make up for that grave omission. Because Ikar Chasev V'Na Sefer, you're missing the very essence of what Judaism is all about. Obviously, I do not subscribe to either position. I imagine you gathered my general gist. My position always tries to be in the middle, a balanced, moderate kind of presentation. Of course, it's all relative, depends on who you speak to. Some people think I'm a Reform rabbi. Other people think I'm the most Haredi person they ever met in their lives. But I would like to talk about a third reaction, which is also troubling to me, and that is benign neglect to the extreme. There are many people who haven't given much thought to the establishment of the State of Israel for the last 62 years. If you tell them, hey, here, they won't even know what that day is. To them, the State of Israel simply is. There are, shall we say, all kinds of phenomena out there. There's a miracle of kosher parva bacon bits, and there's also the miracle of the State of Israel. Well, I'm not going to eat them. On the contrary, kosher parva bacon bits probably are more significant in my life. That to me is theologically irresponsible. I'm very fond of quoting Ramban, and I have the language of the Ramban written down here, but I will show it to Rabbi Steinmetz Lidl Neder. Ramban says, the beginning of the Aschalt of the Gula, that's the lashon that he uses. By the way, Aschalt of the Gula is a language found where? In Chazal. In which Masechta? Thank you. Some of them are Masechet Megillah. Found in Masechet Megillah. The Gemara discusses the order of the brachas in Shemoneh Esrei. And so the Gemara used the expression of Aschalt of the Gula, and there we have it in terms of the Seder of Brachas, but the Ramban says the beginning of the Aschalt of the Gula will be, he writes here in his Perash on Shir Hashir, by receiving permission from the governments of the world to return to Eretz Yisrael, and with their help, the Ramban says, there will be Kibbutz Golios. Unbelievable. A Ramban. When did the Ramban live? Baruch Hashem. I asked someone recently when Rashi lived. They told me after the Mishnah Berurah. I'm not exaggerating. They had no concept of when Rashi lived. I said, you are joking. They said, well, I'm not sure. And suffered. Okay, it was a young man, so let's be fair. But a young man of 14 years old. He said, Rashi and Mishnah Berurah are contemporaries. The Navi Yirmiyahu, that I'm very fond of, writes very clearly a number of times. He speaks about O Yishama, B'yari Yehuda, U'l'chutzos Yerushalayim. We're going to hear the sound of music, if you will. Kol Sasan, Kol Simcha, Kol Chasan, Kol Kala. The Navi Yecheskel as well, the Pesukim I referred to earlier, speaks about the efflorescence, the flourishing of Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Amra Rabba, Ein Lecha Keitz L'Gula Mizeh. There's no clearer sign of the end of times than the efflorescence, the flourishing of the State of Israel, and the flourishing of Eretz Yisrael. And I have many such rayas that indicate that we have to be makir tov, takadosh baruch hu, over chasadim that Hashem does for us. And to me, one of the greatest chasadim was the establishment of the State of Israel. I'll read to you a piece of Yehuda Levi. Yehuda Levi says about himself in the Kuzari, and he writes here about individuals who daven v'sechazena yinein v'shuvcha l'tzion b'rachamim, and he compares their davening to the following. I'll translate into English. To the chattering of the nightingale or the starling. The chattering of birds. It's meaningless verbiage. Pitputi milam alma. They don't mean it. They just say it. They utter the words. And unquestionably, the establishment of the State of Israel is undoubtedly part of the al-misecha shebechol yom imanu. Anyone who knows what the Ramban went through in order to make Aliyah to come to Eretz Yisrael, how long did it take the Ramban to come here? About a year and a half. To make the long trek towards the end of his life to Eretz Yisrael. And Baruch Hashem, we can get on a plane and gets out of cell in a very short period of time. And I will tell you that my own life personally, Baruch Hashem, we were zocha, my family, approximately close to 16 years ago, to make Aliyah and come to Eretz Yisrael. And Lefi Aniyus Dati, it was the most significant move I made my entire life, next to my marriage. That was the best move I made. And after that, I believe coming to Eretz Yisrael was number two. I'm a chassid gadol Eretz Yisrael. I don't know how Jews live in Chutz Eretz. I imagine it's possible to live in Chutz Eretz. I hear about it. I saw Jews in California, seem to be enjoying themselves. I see Jews in Lawrence, also enjoying themselves. And in other cities as well as the United States. But trust me, ain't no dumb. There's no comparison. For someone who has a great schus of living in Eretz Yisrael, I can tell you that the moment I came to Eretz Yisrael, even though as Chataya and Maskir Ayom, my davening is a different davening. Everything about me has changed. I'm so much more medaktik. Why? Because of the Ramban. Because I'm under the direct hashkocha of Hashem Yisbarach. Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo. Matter of fact, I just heard it from you a few moments ago. Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo. Something about Krypton. Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo. Meireshis Hashana Arach Mishana. The Ramban Chumash throughout his Perish Al HaTorah. The hashkocha of Hashem Yisbarach on Eretz Yisrael is a direct. It's a direct phone call, not long distance. And one senses the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael suddenly. The famous Rambam that Rav Soloveitchik used to quote in Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam speaks about in Bayisheni, when the Syrian Greeks made Zeres against Klal Yisrael, tried to annul their religion and oppressed us till Hashem Yisbarach had mercy on us and saved us, and the Hashmonaim came and they overpowered the Syrian Greeks and saved Klal Yisrael. And then the Rambam writes at the end of that, Ve'emidu melech v'lakayanim. They set up a king among the Kohanim. By the way, you know, the Ramban takes the Hashmonaim to task for that. We are in one pasuk at the end of Vayechi, on the pasuk of Vayosef Shevim Yehuda. The Ramban has two issues with the Hashmonaim. And Meshim Kohanim Melachim, called Yerushalmi. And they violated the Tzavo of Yaakov Avino here. But the Ramban does not agree with the Ramban. And the Ramban says, Ve'edinu Melachim HaKohanim, and Malchus was returned to call yourself for more than 200 years through the destruction of Vayishenim. Why does the Ramban stress then Malchus returned to call yourself for over 200 years? Who cares? The important issue was the Chanukah Samigdash, the rededication of the temple, which the Rambam mentions here in Halacha Beis. Plus, the Malchus left a lot to be desired. The answer apparently is that there's a very significant phenomena of restoring Malchus to call yourself. And the fact that Baruch Hashem, that we've been zocheh to rebuild the state of Israel. And I want to tell you, those who are familiar with what has happened here, and I'm not saying it's ideal. I'm not telling you the state of Israel is Kodesh Kadoshim. It is far from Kodesh Kadoshim, unfortunately. But Mitzvah Hashem, when you come, each one of you individually and all of you collectively, we will change the state. Besides the fact that we'll introduce here balance and moderation and there are cheretz and some basics, but we will also, Mitzvah Hashem, change the state. And make it a more, shall we say, hopefully, Torah Dikka kind of society, and it can happen. And it's happening. The number of yeshivas that are supported by the state of Israel, it's uncanny. The amount of Torah learning that takes place here is absolutely unparalleled. There's nothing comparable to it anywhere in the entire world. Rav Soloveitchik, on a number of occasions, said something which to me is also mind-boggling. The United Nations, the Rav spoke about this in his famous 56 Yom HaAtzmaut speech, Kol Dodi Dofek. Those of you who read that unbelievable article, the voice of my beloved Nach. And that, of course, was the Ribbono Shel Olam. And those of you who have read about the establishment of the State of Israel in the context of the United Nations and prior to that, the League of Nations. But the Rav contended that there's no question in his mind that was an unbelievable nest in and of itself. Anyone who's read about the history of the establishment of the State of Israel, then the different nations that were involved, and even the United States itself, that ultimately voted for the state, so Rav Soloveitchik said it's very clear to him The entire sole function of the United Nations was to establish the state of Israel. Prior to that, they did zilcho. And after that, nada. Zero. Guseg. The only thing they're good for is to condemn the state of Israel and to declare us a racist country, and Zionism is racism, v'chulu v'chulu. So how did that happen? The answer is the Beis HaLevi's Yisod that I say over all the time. What Yisod am I referring to? Siba u'misodba. Cause and effect. I mentioned it many, many times. I'll mention it again. Beginning of Pashas Miketz, the Torah describes that Pharaoh had a dream. So the Medrash writes, what was the cause of Pharaoh's dream? It could be that Pharaoh suddenly became a dreamer. Sometimes people become dreamers overnight. Unlikely. The Pasuk says, Vayim Yiketz. Yiketz is a term that's used to describe the end of an epoch, the end of an era, the end of a zeitgeist. So the Medrash says, Ketzam lachoshech ulechol tachlis uchoker. The time came for Yosef to be released from incarceration. And because of that, guess what happened suddenly? Pharaoh became a dreamer. In other words, one reading the Pesukim might think that the cause of Yosef's ascendancy to power, to Mishnah Melech Mitzrayim, was because of Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh dreamt, could not find someone to interpret the dream, and ultimately Yosef came to his attention, interpreted the dream to Pharaoh's satisfaction, as a result becomes a Mishnah Melech Mitzrayim. That's the reading of the Pshuto Shel Mikra, simply. So the Beis HaLevi, that is completely and totally inverted, based on the Medrash. The Medrash indicates to us that the time for Yosef's release from incarceration had come. Now Hashem Yisbarach had to provide the backdrop, the scenario, for Yosef being released from prison and becoming the Mishnah Melech Mitzrayim. So what did he do? Suddenly Pharaoh becomes a dreamer. So what is the cause? Yosef. What is the effect? Pharaoh becoming a dreamer. Said the Rav, what is the cause? The state of Israel had to be established. How was it established? Through the United Nations. The state of Israel was the cause, and the United Nations was the effect. Siva Masoda. And basically after that, they're out of business. And trust me, they haven't done a darn thing in the last 62 years. It's such a milsad pshita to me. It's incredible. Except for say, spending my tax dollars or my tax dollar and your tax dollars, what have they done? For goodness sakes. What have they done, Jacob?
Not politics.
One does not have to be in politics to see that that organization is bankrupt from here all the way to Idaho. Or Oregon.
Or Haiti.
Correct. This country did more for Haiti than the entire United Nations put together. We're talking about the recent disaster. And so it's very clear to me that Yom HaTzmaut represents this unbelievable chesed on the part of Hashem Yisbarach towards Klal Yisrael. A chesed which we have to be makir tov for. There's a second issue which I haven't discussed. And I don't have sufficient time to discuss it. And that is the question of the halachic issues regarding Yom HaTzmaut. But before I do that, I will mention one thing which I think you will agree. And to me, it is a milsad pshita. I heard Rav Soloveitchik say it in 1968. I even have notes. He pointed out then that historical anti-Semitism, as you know, was related to specifics in the Torah of Klal Yisrael. For example, the Roman Empire would go there against Shabbos, against Rosh Chodesh, against Mila, against Shabbos. And today, historical anti-Semitism is clearly related to one issue. And what is that? The state of Israel. I assume you're aware of that, even though you're not involved in politics. Oh, now a little bit. The establishment of the state of Israel, to a large extent, contradicted the basic premise of Christian philosophy and theology, namely, the forsaken Jew. Or, a book I saw decades ago called The Wandering Jew by Eugene Sue. About 1,500 pages. The accursed Jew. and the Catholics have yet to come to grips with the establishment of the state of Israel. They just can't deal with it. But there's no question that today anti-Semitism is related to the state of Israel exclusively. Of course, the President of the United States, from his great analysis, contends that the only issue that the world today faces is neither Iran, nor North Korea, nor what's happening everywhere else. But the only issue is 1,500 apartments in Moshe Willig's neighborhood. It's a major issue the world confronts. The very epicenter of all the world's problems lies in Ramat Shlomo Hashuafa. An amazing analysis. Scintillatingly brilliant. And trust me, anti-Semitism continues to rear its ugly head. And the state of Israel and its establishment has held the Jewish people up high. We are proud Jews. We believe in Netzach Yisrael. We are not secular Zionists, Chas v'Shalom. We are Orthodox Zionists, if you will, committed to a Torah lifestyle in the state of Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, with the Kedushas Yisrael. Just one or two comments on some halakhic issues. I don't have enough time to really do justice to any of it. Should I say Tachanun on Yom HaTzvot? Tachanun is not said on any kind of Yom Tov if there's no Yisra Malacha. For example, Lag BaOmer has absolutely no halakhic significance whatsoever, despite the fact that the pyromaniacs try to literally set out to sell on fire. There's no basis in halacha for Lag BaOmer. Alfi Kabbalah, the outside of Shimon Nevi'i, said they decide to light one massive Ner Neshama all over the state, all over Eretz Yisrael. But Tachon is not said. Similarly, the Gemara says regarding Tu B'Av, the Gemara at the end of Tainis, the Mishnah, there's no Issa Malacha, there's no Kriyas HaTorah, yet because La'ayyam Tovim Yisrael Ke Chamishas B'Av Achayel Kippurim, the Gemara says we don't say Tachon. But why is Tu B'Av so unique? So Marabeim pointed out, but the Gemara offered several reasons. One is it was the day in which those that were killed in Beitar were brought to Kvura, brought to burial. There were probably hundreds, if not thousands, of Jews who were killed in Beitar. And the Tu B'Av, the Roman authorities issued a decree allowing us to bury the martyrs. There's no doubt we don't say Tachanun on that day. So why should there be any doubt regarding Yom HaTzmaut? Yom HaTzmaut, it's true that, thank God, we didn't have the kind of carnage that occurred in Beitar, but the fact is the remnant of the Shoah, the European Holocaust, came to the refuge of the Jewish homeland. That's certainly a basis for not saying Tachanun. The issue of Hallel is a more complicated issue and requires careful analysis. My own personal opinion is based on that Rebbe of mine from decades ago who said Chatzi Hallel without a bracha, and then my understanding of Rav Soloveitchik that he also subscribed to that position as well, even though there are those who would testify otherwise. But seemingly, I certainly believe that there's a basis for saying Hallel, again, without a bracha, even though the Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael here declared that Hallel Shalom should be said with a bracha, according to some poskim, even in HaTorah. But Pashas, that's only the first Yom HaTzmaut as opposed to the subsequent Yimei HaTzmaut that are only Zecher, that's not the first Pesach, Hallel was said in HaTorah, the first Shavuos, the first Sukkot, so now Shavuos morning, Pesach morning, Sukkot morning, the Hallel that said is the Rabbanan. I'm not going into the whole issue, but undoubtedly, to me, that which is the most significant event is that we are obligated to show Hakaras HaTov for Chazdei Hashem. And to me, the chesed of Hashem Yisbarach in establishing the state of Israel is, as I said earlier, unparalleled. I am to be, as I mentioned earlier, one who believes the dynamics of Jewish life are all here today, are in the state of Israel. There are a lot of very fine Jews in Chutz Laaretz. And don't get me wrong, Chas v'Shalom, one could live a certain and fulfilled Jewish life in all the cities that I mentioned earlier, Chicago, California, and even in La Ciudad, Nueva York, even there it's possible, or New Jersey, which is a satellite. But ultimately, our place is here. The dynamics of Jewish life, it's all coming here. I'm not one of those individuals who necessarily sees doomsday in the United States, although I'll tell you honestly, I'm very frightened by the President of the United States and by his policies and by his attitude and entire approach towards the state of Israel. I think he seems to have really effected a major change in the thinking of most American presidents heretofore, from what I understand, and I'm frightened actually of, God forbid, what can happen over here. But ultimately, we have the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Perhaps I'll end with this. The Gemara Dar Chavav Mebeis. The Gemara describes the Pasuk. Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcha V'hu Yichal Kalecha. I don't know if you saw that Gemara. Did you start from Chavav or Chavav Mebeis? Come out. So you got the Chavav Mebeis? Okay. I hope you'll get there by tomorrow. The question is, what does the word Yehovcha mean? So the Amsa the Rebbe, the Shivcha Rebbe, translated the term, Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcha, throw your burden to Hashem Yisbarach, and He will, in effect, save you. And Baruch Hashem, I have tremendous bitachon in Hashem Yisbarach. Unbelievable bitachon. The greatest chil Hashem is for a Jew to be in Golos. That's already a pasuk in Tanakh. That's not me. That's another Yecheskel, Perek Lamed, says very clearly that as long as Klal Yisrael is in Golos, Ein Lecha Chil Hashem Golo Mizeh. And Klal Yisrael comes back to Yisrael, and Baruch Hashem is able to establish institutions and yeshivas and most those of Chesed and what have you, Ein Lecha Kiddush Hashem Golo Mizeh. So I see in the establishment of the state of Israel, with all of its problematica, all of its shortcomings, all of its pitfalls, and there's no shortage of them, and it's very easy to be critical, but I also see the unbelievable Chesed of Hashem Baruch. And therefore I see the need to express a Hakar Sato, a profound Hakar Sato to Hashem Yisbarach, an unbelievable act of chesed. A chesed that is absolutely so massive, so gargantuan, it can't even be described. I happen to know a number of people who are Nitzalei HaShoah, the elderly people today. And just as that rub that I described, he so much wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael, that Rebbe and Rav of mine, but he was not zochet to. But he encouraged me even at a young age to hopefully think about coming to Eretz Yisrael. And being a chassid gadol of the Ramban as I am, anyone who learns the Ramban al Torah from cover to cover, it's unbelievable. The Ramban had a love affair with Eretz Yisrael, and so do I. There's kedusha in Eretz Yisrael that is palpable, that can be felt here, and there's no doubt that the state has enabled a lot of this Kedusha to thrive, again, with all the difficulty and all the conflict and all the clashes that exist here between the from and the non-from, but ultimately, all of Klal Yisrael is coming together in the Kibbutz Goliath. And that Kibbutz Goliath, to a large extent, is embedded in what Yom HaAtzmaut is all about. The fact that we're able to establish our own Medina, our own state, the fact that we're able to, Baruch Hashem, live and thrive and flourish and prosper in this country, there's no greater chesed on the part of Hashem Yisbarach than that. And that's something that we should appreciate and hopefully have an expression of Hakar Satov. And I just want to end by saying that halavai, I wish you a bracha, that every one of you, individually and collectively, should meet Hashem, should be zochet to make aliyah and come and live in Eretz Yisrael. There's nothing comparable to it. I'm talking even in terms of Liman HaTorah. I'm talking from every perspective. It's true that Parnassa is not easy in Eretz Yisrael, but trust me, Parnassa is Yad Hashem. Several years ago, when the economic crisis occurred in the United States, I could not have believed that such a crisis could ever happen in the U.S. I said, how is it possible? And people tell me it's almost a throwback to the years of the Depression years. And Chas V'Shalom, I don't wish anyone in the United States evil or harm, neither Jew nor non-Jew. Everyone should be matzliach, everyone should prosper. But to me, I saw that as an unbelievable statement. Parnassah be'yad Hashem. We like to think we're in control. We're not. Those who think they're in control, are wrong. are always wrong. Parnassah is completely beyond Hashem. It's possible to make Parnassah in Eretz Yisrael. One could live here very nicely with the proper values. Trust me, chinuch here, there's no comparison to those who raise their children even in New York City or New Jersey, Teaneck, New Jersey. There's no comparison to raising children here or raising children in Chutz Laaretz. It's day and night. There are young children here who are 7 or 8 years old, who know Tanakh, who know Chumash Baal Peh. Mishnah is left and right. Totally different value system. That's because of the analogy of Lashon HaKodesh and the like, and all because they're living in Eretz Yisrael and growing up here. So, Alabai, Yitz Hashem, you all should be Zochet to be Makrito to Hashem Yisbarach, to the Chassad of the Jasbaras, and appreciate the Chesed, the unbelievable Chesed that Hashem did for us by establishing the state of Israel.